Woo, here's a hot take on this week's episode.
So going back to the cortisol question, women over 50 question, you know, inherently as we age, we start to degrade. I know that sounds horrible, but this is what happens when we age. We lose muscle mass, we lose bone density, we lose tendon and ligament density. And I think there's this misnomer, this is another one of these big lies, that what we really need to do if we want to see results is more. Like you said, it's more cardio, it's more exhaustion, it's more breathing heavy, and that's what's actually going to get me to where I want to go. Mm-hmm. Now, this is one of the biggest mistakes that I think especially women make. And it's because of the industry painting this as the picture of how you should be doing things. Mm-hmm. But here's what's most important. If you're a woman and you're, let's say you're even over 30, I think this is more important as we age, but period. The number one thing you need to focus on is maintaining strength, which equals more muscle. Okay? And I don't even say building muscle because there's... higher ground, yeah, I'm rising fast. This is my moment, it's built to last. Keep the focus, keep the drive.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast, where we're taking you from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant by aligning your life in the seven pillars of abundance. And today we have someone who's going to, you're just going to love him. He's an expert in the second pillar of abundance, fitness. Welcome to the show, Tyler Bramlett.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
It is so great to have you here. So what I'd like to ask you listeners is, what if the fitness industry has been teaching women to disconnect from their bodies instead of healing them? Today's guest, he's the CEO and founder of WeShape, and he's here to completely challenge the way we think about exercise, motivation, aging, and self-worth. Tyler is a movement coach, a father, and the co-founder of WeShape, whose philosophy was born after a devastating cycling accident, which permanently damaged his knee and forced him to rethink everything he believed about fitness. After years of surgeries, rehabs, and a deep study into movement science and biomechanics, Tyler created an approach to fitness that is rooted in alignment, mindful movement, and freedom from shame-based fitness culture. Today, he helps people, especially women over 50, reduce pain, move better, and build healthier relationships with their bodies. I think we all want that. This conversation is going to be powerful, healing, and incredibly refreshing. Please welcome Tyler Bramlett to the show.
Wow. Sometimes I hear an intro like that, and I'm like, holy cow, is that me she's talking about right now? Wow.
You're very humble, but let's go back to that cycling accident. I know that that was a huge turning point in your life. Let's talk about how that experience transformed your perspective on health, fitness, and self-worth.
Everybody's problems in this world has some sort of story tips over. And that injury was really my domino. And it really started a series of changes that happened over the course of the last 20 years that, you know, hopefully we'll go into on the show, that I think some of these concepts will really benefit your listeners. But, you know, the core principle that I started with was I did the same thing as everybody else, right? I looked at the fitness magazines and the bodybuilding books, you know, and all these different things. I thought to myself, well, I'm going to go to the gym so I can look good naked, just like everyone else wants to do. Right? I want to lose weight. I want to look good, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I started going and I noticed a few things at the gym. One is I felt really intimidated when I was there. I wasn't in great shape when I was younger and it was a lousy feeling, but I went anyways and pushed through it. But then as luck would have it, I got hit by a car. Okay. And I like to say as luck would have it, because like I said, at the time it really sucked. It was a horrible experience to be young, to have a pretty devastating injury. I was in a wheelchair for 3 months. I had to relearn how to walk afterwards. But the big thing was when I went back to the gym, to do the routines that I wanted to do to, you know, lose fat and build muscle and look good naked again, everything hurt. And what I very quickly realized was that when you do a fitness routine to change the way you look, you know, it's, some people can find motivation with that. Most of it's rooted in shame and self-judgment, which we'll get to in a second. But when you're in pain, and nothing seems to work, you are so motivated. You want to get out of that pain so badly, but there's not a lot of information out there. There's not people out there saying, hey, if your knee hurts or if your shoulder hurts or if your back hurts, here are the things you might be doing wrong. Here are the things that you might need to stretch. Here are the things you might need to do correctly. And then making sure that you're actually doing those things instead of a lot of the advice out there, which is rooted in intensity, doing a little bit too much too fast. And I think people get trapped in a cycle, right? Where it's like, I start a routine, I push too hard too fast, I burn out, I get injured again, I stop, a couple months goes by, and I repeat that cycle over and over again. Right? And I call it the one step forward, one step backward game. What happens when we take one step forward, one step backward over and over again for decades?
We get nowhere.
Nothing. We get nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. So I think that's one of the first things that people who are listening can probably resonate with is feeling like they've tried program after program and they've never felt like it brought them to where they needed to be. And the mindset shift that I want to ask people to do first is stop using fitness as a tool to change the way you look. Because if you look underneath that, all of that's rooted in, I don't like myself.
Yes.
Right? It's rooted in, I don't like the way I look. I mean, think about it. Let's just get real here. How many people on the call have stepped on a scale, looked down at the number, and felt horrible about themselves because of that little number on a scale, right? I always joke when I'm doing big live calls, it's like, yeah, there's 90% of people are raising their hands and 10% of people are liars, right?
Exactly. Because
we've all done it. And it's not serving us because we're starting with from a place of self-deprecation, of negativity. And that is not actually motivating or inspiring for the long haul. And so what do we replace it with? Start showing up so you can feel better. Start showing up so you can have more freedom of movement. And again, my story starts with me getting injured and then forcing me down that path. I didn't want to have a limp for the rest of my life. I didn't want to have pain for the rest of my life. And so I tried to figure out, what do I do to fix this? And along the way, those principles became my philosophy around movement. And it's simple. When you move better, you feel better, period. That's how. So that's how that injury led me down that path. You know, there's a lot more to that story of becoming a trainer and noticing all these problems with the fitness industry. But where do you want to go next on this?
Well, let's talk about changing. You're challenging the toxic fitness culture.
Yeah.
So I know you mentioned a couple of the lies that people have been told about their health. What are some of the biggest lies that people, especially women, have been taught about their bodies, their health, and their mindset that you are overcoming?
Okay. I'm going to step into the confessional room here for a second. Okay. So if you met me 10 years ago, I was a completely different person. I had very successful online businesses selling different fitness products and health products and whatnot. We sold supplements and cookbooks and workout stuff, you know, but it was all in the traditional fitness sense. All right. Okay. And so when I say that is, you know, we got really good at getting people to buy diet products that are going to help you lose fat in this amount of time. And it's so quick and so easy. And you're going to do this workout product and it's going to help you flatten your belly and blah, 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 blah. And that's what the industry does. It straight up tells you, you should dislike yourself, right? You should hate yourself. Sometimes it even goes farther, like look down at your belly. Like, does that make you feel proud of yourself? It tries to shame you. Let's get real. The marketing of the fitness industry is constantly trying to shame people. And the reason why is because when you feel shame, you want to buy something to get rid of that shame that you think is going to give you hope, right? To fix it. And so that's my confessional is like why I know this so well. Is because I participated in it for a long time. Yeah. I participated in it. And I want everyone out there to know that the biggest lie you're being sold is that there's some magic new thing that's going to fix all your damn problems. It's not going to happen. It's not going to be one fix, one pill, one food, this type of sleep, this type of exercise, this type, whatever. It's not going to be any of that. It's going to be consistently taking action on the basics consistently. I call that the ABCs of feeling better. Right? Taking action on the basics consistently. And so instead of jumping from routine to routine, yes.
We'll put a pin on that if you want, but I want to know what are the basics of feeling better.
Yeah. If we want to zoom out to the basics, right? People go to the things that drive the last 5% of change and they think that's where they should start because of all this marketing hoopla and everything like that, right? Are you drinking water when you wake up in the morning? Is that something you're doing as a habit? Are you getting a good night's sleep? Right? Are you prioritizing your sleep? Are you turning the TV off and making sure that you wind down a little bit before bed? Are you doing basic movements that the human body craves? Are you doing squats or sit to stands, right? Are you doing some sort of core type movements? Are you making sure you have mobility and strength in your joints, right? Those are the things that actually make us feel good in the long run. And this fancy stuff and the stuff that's like way too above our heads, equipment, all these things that we think we need, we don't need any of that if we don't have the basics down first, right? So simple things drive 90% of the change that you'll experience. And it's consistency around those simple things that really drives the change. So if you found yourself jumping from thing to thing, right, I want you to know that's not your fault. That's probably the industry telling you that this next thing is the next thing, the next thing, the next thing is keeping you pretty distracted from that simplistic consistency that you need to do to really start feeling a change.
Yeah. I like to call the basics H&M, not like the discount store, but hydration, nutrition, and movement. Just very simple. And I think women especially, I mean, there's stripper pole classes, there's aerial yoga, there's all kinds of crazy Pilates. And I mean, classes are fun, but if you are not doing the basics, like you said, it's not going to do anything. So let's go back. I interrupted you. What are some of the biggest lies that people, especially women, have been taught about their health?
Yeah, I mean, first, going back to everything I've said so far, first is that shame-based motivation works.
Yeah.
I don't think shame-based motivation works, and I'll tell you why. For less than 1% of the people, you're able to hate yourself enough to drive yourself to do it, and then you become what everyone thinks they want to become, that you lose the weight, you get the stuff, and everybody goes, well, I got to do it like that person. I've got to hate myself enough and shame myself enough so I can finally become them. Here's the thing. I've met a lot of people who are wildly successful, have amazing bodies, all this stuff. A lot of them are deeply miserable people. Mm-hmm. They're constantly criticizing themselves, constantly pushing themselves, constantly creating their own suffering, and they can't even enjoy the present moment. And so even though you might get the results you're after, let's say you shame yourself enough into losing the weight that you want to lose, does that mean at the end of that, you're going to be great at appreciating yourself? No. You've just practiced hating yourself all the way to the place you want to go. You've rehearsed that over and over again. So your natural state of being is going to be self-criticism and shame. And I've watched this. I've helped thousands of people lose over 100 pounds. And you know what happens at the end of it? When it's rooted in shame as the starting point, all they do is nitpick the next thing. This, oh, now it's my arms. Now it's this. Now it's my nose. Now it's my whatever it could be, right? And I started realizing if you can't fix that relationship now, it doesn't just magically get fixed because you've lost some weight and changed the way you look. In fact, the closer you get to that goal, most of the time, we start to nitpick more and more and more. So we can't use shame as motivation. And for the majority of people, I should say, what they do is they attempt to use shame as motivation. They do it for a few weeks or a month. Then they create a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Because they started with, I'm not worthy, I'm ugly, I'm disgusting, I need to use that as motivation to go do it. And then really a couple weeks later, you know what, that was true, I'm not worth it, I'm ugly, I'm disgusting, right? And they quit. And that's because it feels bad, right? I always ask people, like, do you want to do something over and over again that feels bad? No. So what if you could flip it on its head? What if you could look in your mirror right now and say, I'm doing a good job at showing up for myself right now, I'm doing my best, right? Should be believable, right? I'm doing my best right now, which we all are, I believe. And like, let me do one extra thing today to take care of myself. Let me celebrate that one thing. Wow, I'm doing even better today. I did one thing to take care of myself, right? And if we can use that positivity and that reframe of our minds as motivation to keep pushing us forward, that's what feels good.
Yes.
And when things feel good, we want to do it. So my work with people and their mindset is trying to get them to see the value of the self-care that they're doing because it makes them feel good. And then hold that in juxtaposition to when we use shame motivation or when we push ourselves too hard or when we put all these unrealistic standards on ourselves, how does that feel? And then say, you got a choice. Which one do you want to choose, right?
Yeah, and it's very simple the way you say it, but I think it's so ingrained. I mean, since women are little girls, they are told, you know, it's all about their looks. It's more important to look good than to feel good. And a lot of people work out, like you said, because they want to look like the people in the magazines, but even the people in the magazines don't look like the people in the magazines.
That's right. That's so true.
All airbrushed and, you know, filtered and everything like that. So what kind of tools or advice can you have, do you give women who are like, I'm working out because I want to look hot and I want to, you know, be confident naked. How do you even get them in touch with what feels good in your body?
Yeah. We have several challenges that we run people through that take them through this course of a mindset shift that we're trying to generate. And really the simplest way to describe this shift is people show up for fitness because they don't feel worthy intrinsically. And I want you to feel worth it. And that means like carving out time, setting boundaries, creating space for yourself, self-care, prioritizing you, all those magical things. But you're right. That is not a journey that happens in a week, a month. Right. For some people, it takes a year. For some people, it takes years. So we've actually developed a curriculum on the back end that people can go through with WeShape to gradually repattern their beliefs, repattern their mindset. But I'll tell you where it starts. The first thing that we ask people is, why are you here? Why did you show up here in the first place? What's your intention? You know, our actions are driven from our intentions, right? So we want to make sure we get that piece right. And so many people start with that superficial stuff. Well, I got to lose weight. You know, I want to look good in a bikini. I want to do this and that. And all you have to do is ask why again. Why does that matter to you? Right? And if you ask that question enough, their answers start to evolve. They change from, I want to do this because I want to look good naked, or to like, oh, I don't like the way my body looks, to, oh my God, my mom and dad were shaming me when I was a kid and making me feel really bad. Oh my God, I attached to those beliefs about me being unworthy this my entire life, and I've just been abusing my body ever since. Oh, wait, I have choice to make a change. Oh my God, I deeply want to take care of myself because I'm worth it. And it just starts at that first question, like, why are you here? And it's okay to have a superficial goal. That's fine. I actually encourage people, don't try to manufacture something that's not real in you. But I think if you consistently ask yourself, why am I showing up for this over time? It will gravitate from, I'm doing this for something superficial, to typically, I'm doing this for extrinsic motivation. Like, I'm doing this because I want to be able to take care of my kids, my grandkids, and be there, you know, for my husband and all stuff, to eventually, I want to do this because I'm worth it, because yeah, I deserve to take care of my body, right? And that's when I see the real win. When I see people go from like doing it for something else outside of themselves to just like, I do this because it makes me feel good and I want to feel good and I'm worth it. I'm like, that's it. That's the mental shift that needs to happen for someone to change their identity so that they don't even need motivation anymore. Like, you're just somebody who's going to take care of yourself now. I don't need to motivate you anymore. So yeah, we really try to get people to make that mindset shift, however long it takes. And sometimes it takes a while, but everybody who sticks with it with us makes that mindset shift.
Amazing. We are going to cut to a quick commercial break. And when we come back, guys, you're going to want to hear this. What does it mean to actually feel good in and about your body? Because a lot of people, they're not getting the results they want. Yeah, they're doing it to feel good, but then they don't see their body change and they could be demotivating. I know we just kind of talked about that, but I want to talk about how your program is really different than traditional fitness programs and actually getting people results. So we are going to come right back after this short commercial break. Do you remember slumber parties as a kid? Wearing pajamas, laughing until midnight, eating delicious food, and feeling completely free. Before the bills, the responsibilities, and the pressure of adult life. What if you could experience that magic again as an adult? On February 27th and 28th, I'm hosting the second Soulful Slumber Party in Cincinnati, Ohio. The first one sold out, and this experience is truly unforgettable. You'll receive luxury silk pajamas, a night at a beautiful hotel, a sacred cacao ceremony, a gentle yoga session, a professional photo shoot, my signature Seven Pillars of Abundance workshop, and an elegant dinner party with an incredible group of like-minded women. This is your chance to reconnect with your joy, your vision, and yourself. If you feel called, apply through the link in the show notes. I'll see you at the slumber party. Hey there, it's Rebecca, your magnetic abundance mentor. Let me ask you something. Are you feeling stuck, burned out, or like life just isn't as juicy as you know it can be? If you're nodding right along, it's time for a breakthrough. My coaching program is designed to help you align your life in all seven pillars of abundance: spiritual, physical, emotional, romantic, mental, social, and financial. So you can finally live that big, bold, sexy, and adventurous life you deserve. And here's the best part. I'm inviting you to schedule a breakthrough call with me. No pressure, no sales gimmicks, just a genuine chance to experience my coaching firsthand and get crystal clear on what is next for you. Because your best life is not a someday thing, it's a right now thing. So click the link in the show notes to book your breakthrough call and let's start making magic together. Your next level is calling you. This podcast review is from Bring It On, and she says that the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant show is amazing and inspiring. She goes on to say, I believe this show is a place where women can come and really learn and grow. Rebecca creates a strong and safe space for women to share and be vulnerable. I highly recommend this podcast. Thank you so much. And it is absolutely a safe place for all women to come and learn. Thanks for being a great listener. Welcome back to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant show. We are talking to the CEO and founder of WeShape, Tyler Bramlett. So how is your approach? I know you talked about feeling good in your body, but people still want to get results. So how is your approach different than the traditional fitness programs?
Yeah, so we talked a lot about kind of this mindset shift that we're trying to get people to have. The reason why we want to have that mindset shift in the first place is to cultivate consistency. Okay. Right. Now, this is the most important thing that we can focus on if we want to actually feel a difference from our efforts that we're putting into our fitness routine. And again, I think the biggest problem that people have is a couple things. They're not consistent. They jump from thing to thing. And here's the reality. If I do a program that's built this way for a month or two, and then I do a program that's built this way for a month or two, and then I do this workout for a month or two, and I do this one for a month or two, we're not really making a ton of progress because you're not staying on one thing long enough to force adaptation to your tissues, to actually force your body's ability to have stronger muscles and tendons and ligaments and more mobility and things like that. That takes time. And so I just want people to know, again, I already said this in the beginning, the fitness industry has sold you like 30 days, 6 weeks, 2 weeks. And like, that's not how this works, right? If you want to see actual change in your body and how it feels and probably how it looks, if you just do like two workouts consistently with the same philosophy every week for a year, that's 100 workouts.
Yeah,
I give you a guarantee right now, if you do 100 workouts consistently under the same philosophy, there's pretty much a 0% chance that you won't notice a pretty big difference in your body and how you feel. Okay, so that's the first thing I want to say, is that consistency is key. Now, the second thing, I think what really makes what we do at WeShape unique, and this ties back to the injury story and working with clients who are really challenging over the years, I ended up having another injury many years later. So I've spent like a year of my life in a bed recovering from knee injuries.
What's your second injury?
It was worse than the first one, actually. The first one, you know, I got through it and it still bothers me a little bit, but for the most part, I'm able to do pretty much anything. After that, I got really obsessed with performance. I wanted to figure out what my body could do. And so I started, you know, doing gymnastics and weightlifting and sprinting and kettlebells. And I tried everything under the sun, right? And as I was doing a gymnastics class about 10 years later, I came down and I didn't listen to my body. This is a big lesson. My coach was telling me, punch harder. And my brain was like, this is going to hurt. And I was like, screw you, knee. I'm going to punch really hard, right? And so I did it. And my knee caved sideways. And I tore my ACL, MCL, LCL, quad, and meniscus.
Same knee that you injured in the other one, actually.
The other one. Yeah. So, you know, I've got some injuries behind me. And I've spent, like I said, a year in bed recovering from surgeries and whatnot. So when I really thought about WeShape, it was at this inflection point in my life. You know, I shared with you, we were a successful fitness company. We were doing the same thing as everyone else, but I didn't feel fulfilled at that moment. And part of it was this growing awareness that even though we could help people lose weight or whatnot, people were unhappy. And then my wife brought to me this whole psychological piece, how the industry is really screwing women over. I didn't see it at the time. I can't take credit for that. And simultaneously, my daughter was developing some signs of an early eating disorder. And I was realizing, oh my God, I'm contributing to this problem, right?
Yes.
And so we asked ourselves, like, what do I want to really do? You know, I was successful. I didn't have to do this, but I said, if I could choose anything, what would I really want to do? How would I really want to show up in the world? And I wanted to give everybody the experience of having a really great trainer and also a really great coach on this mindset stuff to give them what their body actually needs. And what I mean by that is pretty simple. Everybody does a workout program that's usually one size fits most, or maybe they have beginner, intermediate, advanced, and usually it's around a topic, you know, like you're going to get a big butt or running or lose weight or whatever it may be. But here's the truth. The best program for you is the one that was built for you. Okay. It's the one where the personal trainer watches you move, figures out where you're tight, figures out where you're weak, makes sure you're doing the right variations of all the movements, and then has a roadmap of how you're going to make progress throughout your workout routines so that you can gain strength, so that you can gain flexibility. And ideally, this is something that no one talks about, so you can gain balance, coordination, and movement capacity. And what this all means is basically you're moving your body the right way, like with great form. Mm-hmm. And when you do this, it applies to your life. Now going up and down stairs feels good again instead of being painful. Now picking up something off the ground doesn't hurt your back anymore because you've learned how to move well. And so when we started WeShape, that was my premise. It was like, I want to figure out how I can give every single person who comes to us an experience like having a world-class personal trainer, but at scale, and not have to pay, you know, thousands of dollars a month for a really high-quality personal trainer. So that's what differentiates us. You know, there are fundamental human movement patterns that everybody should be doing, squats and lunges and being able to jump and push-ups and core moves and, you know, mobility across all the joints. That's really important, but everybody's unique. And so if you're really tight in your hips and you have lower back pain and you feel horrible all the time, you're going to need a different routine than someone who's got aches in their knees, bad posture, and feels horrible for a different reason, right? So everybody needs something different. And so what we built was this assessment and this tool where you can go through the whole process. We ask you questions about where are you tight? Where are you weak? What moves can you do? And we're actually able to build people a 100% customized routine just for them. And as they use the routines, as they engage with it, they do the follow along workouts, they scale things up and down depending on how their body feels. It actually gets smarter. It gets smarter and smarter and smarter as people continue to use it. So my goal was always imagining the process of what it was like when I would serve a client as a trainer. And it was never, here's my cookie cutter program for you. It was always like, let me understand this person. Let me deeply understand them. Let me figure out what they need in their routine. Let me figure out how to put it together. Let me figure out each day as they walked in, how does their body feel? How much sleep did they have last night? And let me tailor it each day to them and build all of that into the workout framework that we've built at WeShape so that everyone can have what their body needs that day. So, I mean, we have about 6,000 people using WeShape routines right now. Every single person is doing their own routine, a completely unique routine.
So, and it's like, how does it work? It's like an app where is there a trainer demoing the moves, and the moves are customized to each person based on their fitness goals and their...
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And I think that this is the thing, is I can talk about the underpinnings of it. And we had to build our own machine learning stuff. And it was very technical. I have an amazing tech team that's helped me translate these ideas from my brain into like an algorithm that can actually deliver this at scale. But essentially, the user experience is pretty simple. You answer some questions. We build your routine on the back end. You come in and you say, I want to start moving. And then it says, how'd you sleep last night? And you give it an answer. And you say, how's your body feel right now? And you give it an answer and it says, how much time do you have? And it got 10, 20, 30, 45, and 60 minutes. Based on those answers, based on your previous answers and your goals, it's going to build your routine for that individual day. So if you're exhausted and you're like feeling burned out, it's going to be like stretches, like yoga moves, just simple stuff. If you're feeling like I slept great, my body feels great, it's going to give you a nice hard workout to push you, but at your individual level. And then as you engage with it and scale the movements up, that's how you actually make progress with strength and flexibility. But as far as the format goes, once you answer those questions, you can either take a look at the routine and adjust it to your liking, or you can just press play and follow along. I wanted this to be follow along because in the past, when we had other fitness products, follow along is the best format. Like people don't want to see the movement on like a thing and then look at their phone and then go over there and then go back and forth, right? So I want it to be follow along, which is why it was such a difficult product to build. Because even during the workout, let's say you're doing some squats, right? If after that interval set of squats, you're like, ooh, this is feeling too exhausting for me, you can hit scale down during the follow-along workout. And if squats are up next again, it'll scale the difficulty of the movement down. right? So again, the experience I'm always going for is if I'm sitting with a client and they're doing a movement and they look over at me and say, this is feeling too hard for me today. Do I want to just tell them too bad? You know what I mean? Or do I want to say, oh, no problem. Scale it down to this, right? Or this is too easy today. No problem. Scale it up to this, right? So it acts like a follow-on workout, but one that you engage with. And again, as you engage with it, it gets smarter and develops a more customized routine for you.
And then what are the community aspects of WeShape?
Oh, I love this.
Online community. So people don't feel like they're just working out at home alone and they want to feel part of a movement. What, tell us about that.
Yeah, I love that you said the word movement, because I always say to people, we're trying to use movement to start a movement to change the way the fitness industry is showing up. I don't want the fitness industry to show up in the way it does. I don't want my daughters to grow up in a world where their self-worth is defined by the number on a scale or where it's defined by how their body looks, right? I don't want that. So I really want WeShape to be a company that sends a different message, that we're trying to do fitness differently. We're trying to change the way people think about it and change the way that people feel in their bodies. So, you know, that all being said, the community part is huge, right? If you just join a program and it's got great philosophy and great technology and this customized stuff, but like you're alone, right? It's still not going to feel that great. And so we've put a lot of energy into this, right? And partly because we did the research, and the research shows very clearly a few things. One, strong community increases your overall quality of happiness in your life, period. Period, period, period. If you don't have a strong community, you will always feel like there's something missing in your life, okay? Mm-hmm. Two, it increases adherence dramatically. When you have people around you that's like, hey, I did my workout today, or hey, have you done your workout today? Or you can just reach out and say, oh, I'm struggling to find some motivation today. Then have somebody go, we got you. Why don't you just try a 10-minute routine? Keep it up, or take a break. Give yourself some grace, right? That's all super helpful in staying adherent to the program, consistent with the program. Mm-hmm. So, you know, right inside the WeShape app, you have access to our community wall. This is just like a Facebook feed where people can post. I did the workout. They can ask questions. They engage with each other. Like I said, we've got quite a few people in there now, so it's pretty an active community. On top of that, we do live calls. And this is something that I really wanted to do because I think people always have extra questions or need extra support from real people. So we do like two, sometimes three live calls a day. They vary between like movement Q&As where you can jump on a live call like this, ask myself or our resident physical therapist, Dr. Lisa, you can ask us questions about movements to help with particular issues, how to adjust movements in your routine, et cetera. We have Coach Case in here, who's one of our mindset coaches, and she's just wonderful. She leads our group share calls. And think about this less like we're preaching to you, but more like, hey, what are you struggling with? How can we help you? How can we hold space for you? And people love those calls as well. We have a licensed therapist who has a segment each week on body neutrality, on learning how to like your body again. And we also have a meditation coach in there that is live meditations that are kind of structured around kind of learning how to appreciate yourself more and learning how to appreciate your body a whole lot more. So, and on top of that, we have the challenges and things like that that take the community and bring us all together around, you know, common goals and themes each week as well. So, yeah, community is huge. And here's the belief I have underneath it. I think it's really important. What we're asking people to do is change. We're asking people to change their beliefs, their thoughts, right, about themselves. And change doesn't work if we don't feel safe.
Yes.
We have to feel safe in order to change, okay? And so if you're surrounded by people who don't understand this journey you're trying to go on, who are still stuck in toxic fitness and diet culture and talking that language, and you don't feel safe around them, it's harder to change. But if you have a community of people who are all speaking the same language, all pointing the same direction, you feel safe, right? And then when you feel safe, that's when you can make some serious change. So it's very supportive of the mindset shift that we've been talking about today as well.
Wow, I love this. We are going to cut to a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how movement, emotional healing, and nervous system regulation are all connected. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast, and we'll be right back. Okay, can I be real for a second? You're out there crushing it in some areas of your life, but in others, it's like a hot mess express. Sound familiar? Here's the thing. You're not just meant to survive, you're meant to thrive. And that's exactly what I help my clients do in my coaching program. Together, we'll tackle all seven pillars of abundance, because who wants killer abs but a dumpster fire of a bank account? or a thriving career, but zero in the romance department? Yeah, no thanks. I'm inviting you to schedule a breakthrough call with me. No pressure, no awkward sales pitch, just you, me, and a chance to figure out why you're stuck and how to get unstuck. So stop doom scrolling and start doing something about it. Click the link in the show notes and let's start giving you your best, most bougie life. You in? I want to share something personal that has truly changed how I feel in my body. Like so many women, I was eating healthy, working out, and doing all the right things, but still my metabolism felt slower. I was holding on to belly fat, craving sweets, and my energy wasn't consistent. That's when I started using the EverBalance and GBX Slim to Fit Duo. What I noticed from these two supplements was incredible. My belly fat started to release, my cravings for sugar went way down, and I had a steady, consistent energy flow throughout the day. I didn't feel like I was fighting my body anymore. It finally felt like my body was supporting me. This duo works at the hormonal and metabolic level, which is especially important for women in midlife. I feel more confident, energized, and more like myself again. If you're ready to support your metabolism and step into your most vibrant, magnetic self, go to the link in the show notes to grab your discount. All right, everyone, welcome back. We are talking about fitness and changing our mindset from toxic fitness culture to, I really think of it as just like celebrating your body, celebrating health, celebrating life through movement. So how are these things connected, Tyler? Movement, emotional healing, and nervous system regulation?
Yeah, so there's a lot going on here. Again, we just talked about this when it came to community, that when we want to change, we have to feel safe. If we want to de-stress ourselves, we have to feel safe inside of our nervous system and our body. But so many people have this disconnect from the neck down, right? We live in this culture that praises thinking, praises our brains, but doesn't praise a lot of connection from the mind to the body. But here's the reality. Every emotion you feel it somewhere in your body. And if you don't have that good connection from your brain to your body, oftentimes it stores inside of our nervous system. And that creates restrictions in our movement. That creates tension where tension is unnecessary. Yeah. And we can do all the cognitive behavioral therapy and all the talk therapy we want. But if we don't do that somatically at the same time, and I know that's a fancy buzzword these days, it just means like connecting with our bodies as we're connecting with our minds and connecting with our emotions at the same time, right? So if we don't do that work somatically, then we can stay stuck. And we can wonder why I've been to the therapist for 10 years and I stay stuck in this behavior, I stay stuck in this attitude, or I stay stuck in physical pain or physical restrictions in my body. And so movement is about connecting the mind to the body again. So much of what the fitness industry teaches you is mindless movement. It's no pain, no gain. It's push through it. Try not to, you know, ignore the signals that are coming up for you, right? It's the sit on the treadmill and watch TV or scroll social media and disconnect. And what I tell people is the exact opposite. Let's do mindful movement. I want you to feel how your foot is supposed to feel when you're using your foot actively on the ground. I want you to align your knee the same direction as your toes and protect your knee joint. I want you to feel your hips working properly. I want you to feel like what a strong, stable core is and how when you move from that, everything becomes easier and less painful. I want you to feel how you're properly supposed to move through your shoulders and your arms to feel good again. All of that requires a degree of focus, a degree of focus from our mind to our body. And when we do that, we strengthen our somatic connection. And when that happens, what actually happens for a lot of people is they get better at processing emotions. We get more emotionally regulated when we live more in our bodies rather than just our minds. Because at the end of the day, if we're stressed out in life, if we're feeling really frustrated, that's creating that nervous system that feels unsafe. But if we can recognize that, wow, that stress is really holding inside my chest, and then we can do some deep breathing and we can do a chest stretch to move through it, all of a sudden, we're like, wow, that moved through me a whole lot faster. Not only do I feel physically better, but I feel emotionally better at the same time. And so mind, body, spirit, emotions, like this is all deeply connected. And I think the fitness industry really just tries to take it apart and like, let's focus on your glutes. You know, everybody wants to have bigger glutes or something simple like this, right? And it's so much more. And I think if you really start to feel the difference, when you're embodied and when you're mindfully moving, and how that really reconnects you with yourself in a meaningful way. Like, you literally will be able to operate from intuition much better when you have a better mind-body connection than when you don't. And when you feel that difference, there's no turning back, right? There's just no turning back. So yeah, I think that's how they interrelate.
So what do you do personally if you have stress or emotional or mental duress? How do you handle it?
Yeah. So I'd say three things that are really common for me when it comes to that emotional stress in life. I mean, I'm running a startup business. There has been lots of hard points here. Let's put it this way. Selling weight loss by shaming people was easy, was so easy, right? This, hey, it's going to take a long time. Hey, this isn't about weight loss. Hey, this is about learning how to respect your body and care for your body. This is hard. People need education and time to go from where their mindset is to here. So, you know, I've had a lot of stresses in my life. My daughter's had Lyme's disease for almost a year. We had to go through that process. Like, life happens, you know? And so I get stressed just like everybody else. But the difference is, do you have tools? Do you have tools that work for you? Okay. So a few tools that work great for me. If my stress is more anger oriented, frustration, rage, anger, then I want to get energy out. How do I get energy out? Go do a V-shape workout. Go do something explosive and powerful. And by the way, not everybody should do that stuff, but like sprinting, jumping rope, doing jump squats, like aggressive activity can get that energy out. And then all of a sudden you figure out, wait, what was I angry about again? Oh no, I was just like, I didn't manage that in my body, right? So when you're feeling that real intensity, getting out of your body is a really healthy expression of anger and rage. I try to teach that to my daughters. When they get mad, bring them in the room, punch the pillows, jump up and down, get it out of your body. Let's not assign meaning to it and blame to others. Let's get it out first, and then let's come back to the problem and let's see if we can come at it from a much more clear head instead of an emotionally driven place. If I'm feeling fear and sadness and stress like that, there's a couple different avenues I could go there. One is deep breathing. There's nothing that connects us to ourselves more than deep diaphragmatic breathing. And when it comes to nervous system regulation, this is scientifically proven to work. So simple as one hand on the belly, one hand on the chest, breathe into the belly, hand slow and controlled, big breath. Exhale very slowly. You don't have to go in. I mean, there's all these different ways to do it. But if you just do that for a minute or two, that's going to make a huge difference on how you feel. And believe it or not, we start every single V-shape workout with deep breathing.
Wow.
No matter who you are, because it's that important. I really believe it's one of the most important things we can do for our body. When it comes to not being able to get through it, moving it out of you, shaking, growling, jumping up and down, frustration kind of movement can be really good, right? And another one that's fantastic is community, right?
Yes.
Are you just holding this in? Or did you go call a friend? Or did you tell somebody, like, I am really stressed out about this? And you know what? We think that people don't want to hold space for us, or people can't solve our problems, so it's not worth it. But what's worth it is getting this off of our shoulders and recognizing we're not alone. People don't need to solve your problem. People don't need to do anything, really. If you just go to somebody you trust and you say, I'm really struggling with this, and they're like, I'm so sorry. I love you and I'm here for you. That can lift so much weight off your shoulders. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's a few ways that I like to deal with it that make me feel good.
People just want to be heard, and they want people just to hold space and validate. Yeah, that is really a difficult thing you're going through, or I'm sorry you're experiencing that.
Yeah.
And also, one of the things that really worked for me is asking people how they're doing and not focusing so much on my self-obsession and perfectionism, because I'm totally like your ideal client. I had to from, you know, these super hard boot camp workouts to being more mellow. And maybe talk about midlife women and cortisol, because women in midlife, they think, oh my God, I just got to push harder and do more of these super challenging workouts, but they're actually not seeing results because these workouts are creating more cortisol. So maybe you could speak into the difference of like working out in your 20s versus women over 50 and how you can actually get a better result with an easier, lighter workout.
Yeah, that's a great question to ask. And I also just want to say, I really appreciate that insight you shared as well, right? About, you know, I can't remember exactly what you said, but getting the stress out of you. What did you say? I'm sorry, I just blanked on that.
Oh, I don't know. Just having somebody just listen to somebody sometimes.
Yeah, holding space for you. Just all you need is to hold somebody to hold space for you, right?
Yeah.
We so appreciate that insight. That makes us feel so connected and so safe and so much different. once we do that. So going back to the cortisol question, women over 50 question, you know, inherently as we age, we start to degrade. I know that sounds horrible, but this is what happens when we age. We lose muscle mass, we lose bone density, we lose tendon and ligament density. And I think there's this misnomer, this is another one of these big lies, that what we really need to do if we want to see results is more. Like you said, it's more cardio, it's more exhaustion, it's more breathing heavy, and that's what's actually going to get me to where I want to go. Mm-hmm. Now, this is one of the biggest mistakes that I think especially women make. And it's because of the industry painting this as the picture of how you should be doing things. Mm-hmm. But here's what's most important. If you're a woman and you're, let's say you're even over 30, I think this is more important as we age, but period. The number one thing you need to focus on is maintaining strength, which equals more muscle. Okay. And I don't even say building muscle because there's different ways to look at it. Bodybuilders can build muscle without actually building a lot of strength or without actually building a lot of control. So I like to focus on building strength with the basic movements that the body's supposed to do. Squats, lunges, side lunges, you know, planks type movements, push-up type movements, pull-up type, pulling type movements, right? If we get good at those basics and we build a lot of strength around them, then we build lean muscle mass, which helps regulate our metabolism, which helps us maintain our bone density, which helps us have more energy throughout the day all at the same time, okay? Now, here's the difference, though. If we're doing a 30-minute cardiovascular, let's say a running workout or something like that, are we actually building muscle? You're only building enough muscle and bone density to facilitate the activity, okay? Yes. What they found when they look at people who do longer and longer runs, we get into the, you know, I want to run a half marathon or a marathon, is that there's this point of diminishing returns where instead of their body saying, I'll build more muscle so I can run that run better and farther, their body starts to go, well, actually, we can degrade our bone density a little bit because I only need this much to do the activity that you're telling me to do. So this is like the same as like when a hiker starts drilling holes in their toothbrush to save weight, the body starts getting smart to try and accomplish that activity. So what people really need to focus on is, am I consistently doing something that's challenging my body to take one more step forward? Okay. So we call this a movement progression. It's how gymnasts tend to train. It's also how the human body learns how to walk and move and stand when it's a baby. It's actually really encoded in the way that we learn how to move our bodies. But a simple way to think about this is if I tell you to do jump squats right now, a lot of people would probably say, I can't do that. It's too hard. It's going to hurt me, whatever. But if I told you sit in a chair and just push your heels into the ground, squeeze your legs for 3 seconds and then relax and then do that over and over again for a minute, pretty much anybody would be able to do that, right? Yeah. So that's our, let's call that our step one. That starts to feel good. Okay. Let's start doing some sit to stands with support under our arms. Okay, now we're building that pattern of squatting, but in a safe, controlled manner. Okay, maybe a month goes by. Wow, we're starting to gain some strength here. Let's lift the arms up. Let's do some sit to stands without my arms touching my legs. Oh, cool. Guess what? I'm getting stronger. I'm becoming more capable of doing things I want to do in my daily life. Okay, now let's rise all the way up on the toes at the top. Now we're getting the ankles and the calves involved. We're starting to condition the feet to be able to absorb impact. And by the way, absorbing impact is the number one thing you can do to combat osteoporosis, not weightlifting, absorbing impact, okay? So then from there, let's add a little tiny hop at the top, right? Let's start learning how to absorb impact, but in a safe, controlled manner. And then let's start adding a jump at the top. Then let's remove the chair. Then let's do the jump squats, right? And so you can see this is a very clear step-by-step journey where we start something that anybody should be able to do, even if you have aches, pains, or injuries. And as you build the strength and capacity, we scale up the complexity of the movement, which requires more strength, more skill, more power, oftentimes more mobility too. And what does that all do? It forces our body to adapt when we do it consistently. And then we're able to do more with our bodies again. And since the premise is built around consistently challenging ourselves, we're gaining that strength. We're gaining that lean muscle mass along the way. And we're telling our body the opposite of what those long distance runs do. We're telling our body, we're always going to try and make things a little bit harder. So you better keep gaining muscle. You better keep that bone density. You better make those tendons and ligaments nice and strong. And you better get really good at coordinating your body so that way you move well, because that's what actually creates the efficiency in these movements in the first place. So I don't know if I got too nerdy there, but like women need to focus on this big time.
A similar trend that I hear that I have no interest in doing, and I know it's supposed to be like challenging for your body and your mindset, is a cold plunge.
Yeah.
And what do you think about that trend for women?
Trends are so funny to me. I like a lot of stuff and I do a lot of stuff that you probably see online, but here's the kicker. I've been doing it for 20 years. So I try not to ride the trends. I try to look at what feels best for me. So here's the thing about cold exposure. just like too much exercise producing cortisol, too much stress in any capacity can produce too much cortisol. So you have to be wise on how you use these things. Are you burned out on all facets and all you're trying to do is get back to a baseline by burning out more, right? It's not going to work. You know what I mean? But if you start to build good habits, you start to get good sleep, you're getting good at that emotional regulation, maybe you're meditating, you're starting to move your body and become a more mindful mover, things feel good. And you go, okay, I want to take another step here. Taking a cold shower, taking a cold plunge, that can be fantastic for your mental health. It does some amazing things. It can increase dopamine for a long period of time, which makes you feel good. It's a great way to wake up in the morning. It can reduce inflammation in the joints, which can be really helpful for people with aches and pains. That's the primary reason why I personally like to do cold showers and cold plunges, just the energy and the vigor, and then also just makes my body feel a whole lot better when I do it. Is it required? Absolutely not. It's not a part of the basics, right? It's a part of the last 5, 10% that you can try to see if it's a tool that you want to add to your arsenal to make you feel better and just give you more energy throughout the day. So yeah, there's my thought on that. I personally do it, but I don't sit there and tell other people to do it. I wait for them to.
You're a high level fitness expert. Let's do some fun rapid fire questions. And this is you personally, what you're doing.
Okay.
Favorite time to work out, morning or evening?
Ooh, the time of day that I'll actually do it, which is the morning for me.
Okay. If somebody, well, this is personally for you. I already know what it's going to be, so I have to change it. If somebody is getting back into working out after a long time off, would you recommend walking, yoga, or strength training?
Strength training, but with a really well-designed movement progression, not just going and lifting weights.
Right. With some guidance from WeShape, right? Most overrated fitness trend that's happening right now. There's so many.
There's so many out there right now that are super overrated. I think you see a lot of these like walk fit, Tai Chi fit things that are blowing up right now. They all take you through a big quiz. Turns out that all that quiz data is just used to market better to you, not to actually customize your product at all. I really dislike those because I know these companies are doing the same thing that all the other fitness brands are doing, but at a really high scale. They're just manufacturing a psychological process of shame to get you to buy a product at the end of the day. And the product's average at best. So.
Yeah. Walking Tai Chi.
Yeah, if you're a woman in your 50s, you probably see like Tai Chi Fit and Walk Fit and some of these other programs out there. Again, they're just sensationalized programs that I don't think really do much for people.
One movement everyone should do daily.
Oh yeah. Okay, I'll show you my favorite one. If you follow me around, I probably do this like 20 times a day. So put your hands behind you while you're sitting. Lift your chest toward the sky, drop your shoulders back and down away from your ears, and just hold that for like 10 seconds and then just relax and come out of it, right? Yeah. This is like such a huge bang for your buck. 10 seconds is all you need. You can do it whenever you just notice a little tension in your neck and your shoulders, right? At WeShape, we call these movement snacks. So not only do we want you to do routines, we're like, we want to teach you how to do one or two things throughout the day or have a toolbox of things. Oh, my neck's tight. Oh, let me do some neck mobility. Oh, my posture's off. Let me do a little bit of shoulder movement like that. And that's a great way to accumulate a lot of movement throughout the day without having to add it into some structure or routine.
I love that because we're all leaning forward, looking at computers, driving cars, looking at our phone.
Constantly.
The back for 10 seconds just opens up the body. It helps the posture. That's great.
Yeah.
Coffee or tea?
If you told me I only could pick one for the rest of the time, I'd pick tea.
Really? What kind of tea?
I would pick a green tea in the morning, probably with some tulsi and ashwagandha, and then some sort of bedtime type formula in the evening, probably again with some tulsi and maybe some kava.
And do you sweeten your tea with anything?
No, just the regular tea. Yeah. I like coffee too, but if I had to pick one, it'd be tea.
Okay. And what is one thing women need to stop believing about aging?
This is going to probably be a little bit of a counterintuitive answer here, but I talk to so many women in their 60s and their 70s, and there's this concept I try to teach of this residual self-image. We say, I should be able to do what I did in my 40s. I should be able to do what I did in my 20s. I should. And all we're doing is creating this comparison of our former self. And I always teach my girls this over and over again. Comparison is the root of suffering. Right. And so I think that so many women believe they should be where they were before. They should be in this, you know, something they used to remember themselves as. And you're exactly where you need to be right now. Right. Yes. And you just need to be able to look in the mirror and say, I'm going to show up for me today. Right.
Amazing. And then this is a Mad Libs. Remember that game?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fill in blank. My body is not something to blank. It's something to blank.
My body is not something to punish. It's something to love.
Beautiful. Oh my God. Thank you so much. This has been really inspiring. I know my audience is going to want to stay in touch with you. Tell us all about how to find WeShape, how to find you, how to, you know, get involved in this amazing community you've created.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, thank you. You can find us on any of our social media platforms, on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook. Just type in WeShape, we'll pop up. We got a lot of followers on there that we show a lot of movements and stretches to give you kind of a starting point to work from. And if you want to try out the customized plans and join the community that we were talking about earlier on the call, we made a special link for your audience. It's weshape.com/beautiful. And that'll take you to our assessment. All right. So that'll take you to the assessment. It'll ask you a bunch of questions. Unlike a lot of the other quizzes out there, we're going to use the answers to these questions to actually build your routine. And then you'll be able to choose a plan and try it out for 2 weeks for free. So at least that way you can experience the difference for yourself. And then if you like it, stay. If not, easy to cancel. I'm not somebody who's trying to hide anything or, you know, anything like that. So give it a shot if you feel like it.
I think I'm going to give it a shot for 2 weeks. I'm curious awesome. About the quiz and what happens. I'm very inspired by you, Tyler. Thank you so much for being a guest on the show. And thank you, everybody, for going on the journey with me that you can create success in life through alignment, not the hustle and grind. Please share this episode with a friend and don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Bye, everyone. So excited to share a review from Melissa Myers, the Glow Girl. She says, inspiring podcast. Rebecca has a gift for creating meaningful, empowering conversations that leave you feeling inspired and uplifted. Balanced, Beautiful, Abundant is like sitting down with a wise, soulful friend who truly wants you to thrive in every area of your life. I love how she blends practical advice with spiritual insights. I'm so grateful I found it. Well, Melissa, we're so grateful that you found us, and we can't wait to find out how you are glowing and growing by using this podcast as a tool. And everybody who's listening and sharing, thank you so much for your support. And it's such a joy to be on this journey with you.